Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Father God, we thank you for poets that pen such beautiful songs of truth, that declare the wonders of your grace and of your love. Father, thank you for the words of that song that we've just sung. May they resonate deep in our hearts and minds this day. Nothing surpasses the love of God. Thank you for the depth of that. May it touch us deeply, even this day. And Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have this opportunity to gather together and delve in it and reflect on it. And we pray that by your Spirit, you would help us to understand and how you would have us apply it this day and in our lives and in this community of faith and in this world in which we live. So guide us and bless us and help us now. For in the name of Jesus, we would pray. Amen. Well, good morning to all of you as well, and great to have you here this morning to worship and celebrate on this long weekend. And Friday was Valentine's Day. Did you celebrate that in some way, maybe buy a card, give flowers, give chocolates, and a sweet note of some kind? If you didn't find a good card or poem to say, express Valentine's to your loved one, I found a couple that maybe you can use next year. Let's throw those up on the screen. Roses are red, violets are blue. Even though you have selective hearing, I still love you. I particularly like this one. Roses are red and so are bricks. I love you almost as much as Netflix. I acknowledge that when Linda and I were dating and then newly married, Valentine's Day was a bigger thing for us. To be honest, sometimes all the hype and commercialism around Valentine's Day really hasn't motivated me to do more, but actually do less. Now, not because I love her less, because in reality, over the years, we've been married almost 38 years, I love her more. But because of this kind of truth, that if my life doesn't match my words, then doing something on Valentine's Day isn't going to really say much. Kind of, I have a rebuttal. Yeah, good. But hopefully, we don't need Valentine's Day to express our love, even though we do, when we did on Valentine's Day, express our love to each other. But my simple point is that if I don't show my love week in and week out, nothing I do on Valentine's Day is really going to change that or fix that. And I say that, and launch into that, because I want to introduce our topic and text today, where we are going to be exploring signs of love. We're now into our sixth week of our series in this small, but I think we have found together, challenging letter of 1 John. If you've missed a Sunday, or maybe this is your first time here, you can listen online at our website and catch up and just enjoy this series. We've entitled this series Vital Signs because this letter is all about exploring what true Christian faith is about. What we believe, what it looks like. And we've been exploring over the weeks various aspects of what a vital Christian faith is all about. And that's because the author John, who was also one of the Apostle Johns, one of the 12 disciples, who also penned the Gospel of John, writes this letter near the end of his life, and actually near the end of the first century of the early church. And he was very passionate about writing down what is essential about the Christian faith, to leave that as a legacy. And he's passionate about that because there have been some beliefs and expressions of Christianity that had already surfaced in the first century that he has some severe concerns about. And that serves us well today, because we live in a world where there are all kinds of beliefs and practices that we need to navigate, discern what is true, get clear about what the gospel message of Christianity is about and what it calls us to if we're sincere followers. So let's jump into our text, beginning chapter 3, verse 11. "For this is the message you heard from the beginning, we should love one another." We should love one another. Now, if you've been here for this series, you may be having a bit of deja vu. Back in chapter 2, John has already talked about this command, this old command and new command in Jesus to love one another. And this section of John will not be the last time we will be hearing about this topic. Well, why? Because it is at the very epicenter of what it means to live out the Christian life. And so John circles back to this over and over again, making sure his readers and us don't miss its importance. And this time, he pulls up an ancient Old Testament story to help make his point. Verses 12. He writes, "Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous." The story of Cain, a brother named Abel, recorded for us in Genesis 4, is the first recorded murder in the scriptures. Without getting into all the detail of the story, the context is that both brothers brought an offering to God. And Abel's was accepted and Cain's wasn't. And God confronts Cain, which makes clear that Cain knew the kind of sacrifice required. God speaks to him, but rather than humbling himself, he is so overcome with anger that he goes out and kills his brother Abel. It's a very disturbing story in the early chapters of the book of Genesis. Now, John, in this context, brings it up to make two particular points. First of all, don't be like Cain. Don't be like Cain. And while that might seem pretty obvious, John is not merely concerned with the final action of murder, but the seeds of hatred which can lie in our hearts that is in opposition to this call of love, which is at the core of true faith. Look at how John unpacks this, verses 14 and 15. "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him." John, interweaving these word threads of murder, hatred, death, and conversely, life and love, John is inviting us to reflect on our lives and our relationships and where we stand in those. Are we alive in love? Do we have the life of God so in us that we love others. A critical sign of true faith that we are alive in Christ is that we love. Do we have the life of God in us, which will be evidenced by the fact that we are diligent about rooting out any hatred, and we sincerely love our brothers and sisters. Now, because John uses these very strong words like murder and hatred, I think we can maybe very quickly be tempted to kind of slough this off and quickly say, well, I'm good. I'm no murderer. Let me remind you of Jesus' words recorded in the Gospel of Matthew that I kind of think stand behind what John is writing here. Matthew 5, 21 and 22. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, one of the Ten Commandments. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Anyone who is angry, the brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Now, you might be saying, are you saying I can never get angry with people? Well, no, that isn't quite what it says. I believe it's saying that when we are angry, we are in a vulnerable and risky place. We are subject to judgment. And the longer we hold on to anger, the riskier it gets. It's why later the Apostle Paul, following up on the same truth, counsels us to not let the sun go down on our anger. In other words, resolve anger quickly. Why? Because anger leads to bitterness, which leads to hate, which leads to murder. This is the trajectory, and we need to be alert to it. Let me say that some of you may be this morning harboring some unresolved anger with your brothers or sisters. And if you are, then know that you are in a vulnerable place. You are in a vulnerable place. I believe that this text invites us before the light of God's pure love that we just sang about with those marvelous words. The love of God. Some of you, may be more in the dark than you want to admit. Maybe it's time to admit it, to confess it, to root it out, to get rid of it. If you are holding on to things that happened 2, 3, or even 10 or more years ago against a brother or sister in Christ, it's high time that you dealt with that. For the sake of your own heart and spiritual health, for the sake of Christ's church. If we are going to sing about, truly celebrate the love of God, we need to apply that by loving our brothers and sisters. Now, that was a bit of an extended point, but you may recall that I said there were 2 points from this story of Cain. The second, much briefer point, is made in verse 13. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. The first point is, don't be like Cain. The second is, don't be surprised if you're treated like Abel. Abel, the righteous brother, was hated by his brother Cain because he'd given himself to the path of evil. You see, while we may in our lives be doing the right thing, living out our lives of love and faith, we need to be aware, as Scripture testifies over and over again, that the darkness hates the light. And we are in a spiritual battle once we have come to the light and are following Jesus. You see, John is just echoing Jesus' own words recorded in the Gospel of John. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. This is no easy truth, is it? It is so natural to want to be liked, to be looked up to be respected, to be admired. But Scriptures are clear that believing and following Jesus carries risk, because we are now people of the light and of the truth. And we need to work at being prepared for negative responses and reactions by those who have rejected or resisting or against the faith. We need to encourage one another to continue to shine, follow Christ faithfully in the midst of that battle. Right? Amen. So, second section of our passage now moves on and gets very practical in this call to love. If the first sign of love is don't be like Cain, the second sign then is then love like Jesus. Hear what John says, 16 to 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Wow, what a text. If we're going to take seriously the command to love one another, then first of all, we need to understand what love really is like. And true love, John says, and Scriptures teach all over the place, that true love, at its highest expression, is in the love of Jesus, who laid down his life for us, who was the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who went to the cross, shed his blood for us, giving his life for us. This is what the good news, the gospel, is all about. He loved us so much that he died for us. And now that we know what true love is, what the highest example of love is, we are called to live out that same love. We are called to live out that same love. We are called to live out that same kind. And if you're beginning to take those words in, then maybe it's beginning to take your breath away. Because that is a challenging call. That is a challenging call. Now, it won't you, but I am humbled by it. Are we loving the way of Jesus, willing to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, willing to give our lives away, not just for our sons and daughters or our parents or our best friends, but for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for that person sitting next to you or behind you, or in front of you. That, says John, is the mark of true love. That is what the church is to be like. And then it's so fascinating to see what John does as he applies this incredibly lofty challenge to lay down our lives. He applies it in such a down-to-earth, practical way. Verse 17, if you have something, hey, anybody here have something? If you've got something physical and practical, and a brother or sister has a need, and you don't respond more, if you don't even care, if your heart doesn't even move and beat a little faster because a brother or sister has a need, then my friend, something is wrong. Something is wrong. And then this clincher. Let's not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Or put it more bluntly, don't just give lip service. Put your love in action. Heard the expression, it's easy to talk the talk. You need to walk the walk. Are you doing that? Are we doing that? Are we seeking to love one another in very practical ways, caring for one another, meeting practical needs? Now, in many ways, thankfully, I believe the answer to that is yes. I've witnessed it. I've seen it in action in this community in some wonderful and beautiful ways. I know that there is a genuine care for one another and a willingness to respond and take steps into each other's lives. Is there room for growth? Is there room for growth? I expect so. I expect so. Now, one of the questions that we need to consider as we wrestle with this text is, well, who is my brother and sister? Well, clearly, it begins with the local community of faith, those who we worship with and are learning with and we're serving with. Clearly, those are brothers, sisters, Christ who come to faith and are seeking to walk the journey. But it doesn't end there. It can't end there. Because just as the early church outside of Jerusalem sent resources to their brothers and sisters struggling with famine in Jerusalem, so we need to think about our brothers and sisters outside of one of the most affluent places in the world. This gets challenging, doesn't it? And it's going to require prayerful reflection as well as action. I think the challenge of this text today is that each of us needs to regularly take time to think about how we're living out the love of Christ in very practical and real ways. Are we genuinely, sincerely, and yes, sacrificially loving our brothers and sisters in Christ? Because, you see, Jesus said, the world will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that's what we're called to do. Now, the last section of our text in 1 John goes in a slightly different direction and speaks actually to the spiritual benefits of living out of this kind of life. And I hope you will find this encouraging. I'm going to move through them fairly quickly. But this text is about when we grow in love, when our lives are really living out that kind of radical love, then there are some great consequences, benefits to our spiritual vitality. And there are three. And the first is assurance. Verse 19. This is how, by living out the love of God in our lives. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. See, one of the struggles that every Christian has from time to time is doubt or insecurity regarding their standing before God. Now, some of that, of course, comes from the reality that we know we are far from perfect and mess up. Some of that may be because of the attacks that come to us from others who question our faith and challenge us. Some of that may be from an overactive conscience. What John teaches here is that one of the great benefits of day in, day out, living out the love of Christ in action is the assurance that it brings to our own faith. If you are sincerely striving to love others, then be at peace. Be at peace. Don't let an overactive conscience have the final word. God has the final word, and He knows how you are seeking to live and love. Secondly, answered prayer. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. What a great promise. John is echoing here the words of Jesus. Jesus says, in that day, Jesus said these things, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Now clearly this isn't a blank check, but it is a promise that God our Father hears and responds to the prayers of those who are faithfully walking in His ways. There can and should be a confidence before God and a boldness in prayer when we are walking in God's ways and our lives are increasingly aligned in what honors and pleases God. Answered prayer. And thirdly, there is an awareness of God's presence. Verse 24, the one who keeps God's commands lives in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. When we live in love, when our lives are really doing that, following that, then we will be even more aware of the rich reality of what is described as a mutual indwelling. A mutual indwelling. We are in Him and He is in us. And this is the beauty, the wonder of the Christian faith. We are in Him by faith. In Him, He calls us into His family. We are in the presence of God, but God is in us, and all of that is made possible by the work of God's Spirit. Assurance, answered prayer, growing awareness of God's presence. These are just some of the benefits of living out the love of God. But I want to go back to what really is the key question today. Are you living out the love of God in your life? Are you? Are the signs of love obvious in your life? Particularly with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me simply ask today, is there someone that you need to go to resolve an issue? Get it solved. Get it worked out. Don't let bitterness, resentment, take root in your heart. Work it out. Work it out. Because that is the sign that the love of God is genuinely. Father, help us to just sit with these truths for a few moments. To think again about the glorious, wondrous love of God. That Jesus laid down his life for us. We are so amazingly loved. Not because we've deserved it, not because we've earned it, because we haven't. We are loved. Your grace has been poured on us and over us and in us. You've given us your Spirit. We are your loved children, brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet this love calls us to live out that love in radical ways. So Spirit of the living God, guide us. Guide us individually. Guide us in our families. Guide us as a community. How we are to express this amazing love. And Father, help us to not hold onto any bitterness or resentment. Unresolved issues. Help us to work them out. Move on as a community of faith. As a community that reveals by the way they live, by the way they conduct themselves with each other, that the love of God is alive in their midst. May that be. May that be for us, O God. For in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.